So Psalm 119 is where we're going to be sitting for all of our service today. I'll have one verse from Deuteronomy. If you ever get a chance, like Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. Like, why would God dedicate one entire psalm, and it's 174 verses, to the Word? It's because it is crucial. It's the one psalm that was given for them for parents to teach their kids the Hebrew alphabet. So when they would read Psalm 119 verses 1-8, and each letter has 8 verses. Each of those verses would start with the letter of the alphabet, Aleph. So we, in English, you know, kind of like English isn't great when it comes to translation. So I wish we had a rhyme and we could sing them with that, but we don't. So I want us to really pay attention to the importance of the Word of God. As you know, we are on a mission to really talk about our purpose as a church. Why does God have us as a church? Why has God brought you into his family? Why does God do anything? Well, it's for his glory. But he calls us, commands us, and causes us. Calls, commands, and cause. C-A-U-S-E. Causes, commands, and calls us to love him. So we are going to love God, love his word, love his ways, love his things. And that is really looking at the reality of the broadness of the Christian life, what we're to be doing. So we talked about loving God, and we talked about loving God last week from the perspective of where our treasure is. And that expression of that treasure is the least value of the thing that you have, right? We talked about that money really has no real true intrinsic value in reality. You are born without it. You die without it. There is nothing within the reality of money. But why do we hold on to it so tightly and not willing to give it away? So we deal with that issue last week. Now we're going to talk about loving his word, because we can't really learn to give away our treasure until we understand God and his character and what he commands for us and the ways that we should live. So he tells us those things through his word. Love his word. Delight in his word. It is impossible to know God unless he has been pleased to make himself known to man. I want you to think about that. So if God had created all of us, which he has, placed us on the earth, the only reason why you know about him is because he was pleased to tell you about himself. God didn't have to say a single word to you about who he was. He could let us as ants just live our lives and die and not even think about us. But that's not what God intended for us to be when he communes with us. So it's impossible to know God unless he has been pleased to make himself known to man. He recognizes the force of Zophar's question in Job 11:7. Can you, by searching, find out God? Can you, in your own purpose, drive, ever really find out God by your own desire? It seems utterly impossible to him that man, by his unaided reason, should discover God, and he therefore considers the question, has God spoken? Numbers 23:19, as one of the utmost importance. Louis Berkhof, 1942. Really, why does man seek God? Because God was pleased to reveal himself. Why would man, after God is pleased to reveal himself, even have the desire to go and seek after him? Because God has placed it there. What is the word of God? There are many answers that I could give that would describe biblically and scripturally what the word of God is. But I think the word of God speaks really well for itself in its own definition. And he clarifies this definition pretty revealing throughout the scripture of what his word is. So we're going to answer that question. The revealing of God by inspiration given through men as he led them to accurately record and communicate his character and message is known as inspiration of Scripture. And the revealing of God in his incarnation through the virgin birth by the power of the Holy Spirit, he is called the Logos, known as the living word. 2 Timothy 3:16, John 1:1. The word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart, Hebrews 4:12. The word is the sustainer and giver of life. The very word of God sustains you and gives you life, Matthew 4:4. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live but by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Psalm 119, 93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. So what is the word of Christ? What is the word of God? Jesus the Christ. He is the word of God. And he was pleased to put his character and his message on display for us to read and to know him. And it's only enough for life and godliness. All the answers that you will ever desire to be answered by God, not all of them are written. Example, the Trinity. Is there anything in all of Scripture, in all of creation, that can clearly give us a full understanding of the triuneness of God? That God in his wisdom as Yahweh Elohim has represented himself as the three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Knowing that the only way to fulfill the promise he made to Adam and Eve when he cursed the snake, I will put an enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, could only come by the God-man himself. That the purpose of the triune God in his wisdom and in his foreknowledge, that through the very plan of the Father, the fulfillment in the Son, and the guarantee of the Holy Spirit, that salvation is an impossibility without the Trinity of God. How would we know that? Ephesians 1, because the Word of God tells us so. You cannot have salvation without the Father planning it. You cannot have the fullness of salvation without the Son fulfilling it. And you can't have the guarantee of your inheritance without the Holy Spirit being your guarantee as a deposit. It's an impossibility. That's the importance of the Trinity. To go any further than that, I would really do it in injustice to try to explain why God is triune. But communion. God has caused and commands us to love his word. John 14:15 said this to you last week. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Psalm 119, 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Do you love God's word where you are willing to drive in your car, sit in your house, and just listen to the word of God spoken to you. Go home when you have the time. Sit down and open it and read it and let him speak to you. Are you willing to listen to his word through the music that he's provided? Are you saturating your life with the Logos? Or is Christian life just a means to an end where you can come and do your ritual responsibility on a Sunday morning and say, I've done my job. Listen to this psalmist says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. It's all he thinks about. You'd be like, that's a little crazy. That man doesn't get involved with the craziness that's going on in our world today because his mind is where it needs to be. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Oh, Psalm 119, 113. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. I hate those who are wavering all the time that never really can make a final decision. They just One minute here, next minute there. Why? Because they have nothing to stand on. There is nothing that their feet is steady on. But this man loves God's law. Psalm 119, verse 119. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. I love your testimonies. I love your words. Psalm 119, verse 32. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. God is busy sanctifying and enlarging your heart and your love for his word. Do you hunger and thirst for his word? As a deer pants after the water, so my soul longs after you. God commands us to obey his word. 1 John 2, 4 through 6. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him, truly, the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Do we live like the Logos? Psalm 119, verse 1 through 4. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. You hear that? Not an option. Psalm 119, verse 44 through 45. I will keep your law continually forever and ever, and I shall walk in a wide place, for I sought your precepts. Now I want you to get that. For those of us who walk according to the law and the word of God, we have a broadness to our ability to live within the confines of the world that he's placed us in. I'm not confined to the way of the world. Where Christ is in my life, I have the freedom now to go outside of that and to touch and to preach and to teach and to walk with and to love and to serve those outside of that little narrow way, which in the world, in reality, that little narrow way that the world says is narrow because it's their way or the highway, God's way is really now narrower, if that's a word. My English is terrible, so I don't really care, right? But my ability to live without outside of the lines is much more greater. You have any questions about that? Look at Jesus's life. What did he do? Hey, Matt, I'm going to your house to have dinner. I'm a tax collector. Hey, don't stop her from anointing my head. What? She's a prostitute. Writes in the sand. He who's without sin, cast the first stone. Where are your accusers? Then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's a really broad way of living, don't you think? Why? Because he lives narrow. He lives according to the word. Because he lives here, he can serve here. That's the idea here. I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. God commands us to teach his word. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Do you see that? That not only are we teaching and preaching, we are teaching and preaching through music. Every opportunity we have, by every means that God has provided, we can teach and preach and richly bless those who need to hear the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 13. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. This is the only verse outside of Psalm 119 I told you I was going to give you. Well, that's not true. I gave you some Johns and stuff, but this is specifically one that I'm using. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command to you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently. You shall teach them diligently. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk with them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as signs on your forehead, on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Can you imagine that? Where you walk into someone's house and the only thing that you see is scripture everywhere. I want you to notice something here. I think this is one of the things that parents have a difficult time understanding. You don't schedule time teaching your kids. You teach your kids throughout the day. You teach them when you're sitting in your house. You teach them when you're walking down the road. You teach them when they go to bed and when they get back up. You teach them when you go to Walmart or Weiss. You teach them about Christ everywhere. It's not just, you know, hey, I'm going to schedule my time with you today. It's in your daily walk and driving that you talk about Jesus all the time. That doesn't mean that you don't set apart time for family worship or family reading. That's okay too. But notice it says here, when you lie down and when you sit and when you walk and when you rise. It's in your everyday moment. Every step your child makes is an opportunity to instill and give Christ richly in their lives. Do you delight in God's word? How important is God's word to you? Psalm 119, verse 14 and 16. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. Verse 16, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Verse 20, my soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. Verse 24, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. 34, give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with all my whole heart. Verse 35, lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Verse 47, I'll read verse 46 first. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame, for I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. Verse 77, let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Verse 92, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Verse 143, trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Even he has to continue to walk in the commandments of God. Why? Because your sin will find you out. And the only way he gets through his sin is the fact that he delights in the word of God. Do you see that? Delight in the word of God, and you will live. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. That's 147 and 174. I long for your salvation, O Lord, for your law is my delight. Do you get the point? How important is the word of God to you? Or do you just let it go throughout your days and weeks or months, and it really has no means to you? Your very existence, you live because God says you do. Psalm 119, verse 151 and 152. I want you to hear these last few verses. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Hear that? This is true. Fox News is not true. CNN, not true. MSNBC, not true. What's true? God's word is true. It has always been true. They can say whatever they want to say. It's not true. There's only one thing that's true. It's called the word of God. We live in the days of lies. Walk in his truth so you can see the lie. Psalm 119, verse 60. Well, let me keep reading. I'm sorry, I forgot 152. 152. I forgot. Long have I known your testimonies, that you have founded them forever. Do you know why God's word is true? Because it is everlasting. Psalm 119, 160. The sum of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous rules endures forever. The world's going to tell you this isn't true. It doesn't matter. I really don't care what they say. I know it's true. I'm a living testimony of his truth. He's changed my life. If you knew what I was before you ever knew me here, I was a dog. Men are dogs. I was a dog, man. Thank God I'm not no more. You got an entire room full of testimonies of God's word active in their lives, where Christ has used his word to instill, deposit, and grow faith. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Psalm 119, verse 172. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. I'm sharing these things with you so that you love his word. When you love his word, you will obey his word. When you obey his word, there is nothing you won't do to honor and please him. You won't listen to those around you. You'll listen to his word because his word is true. His word is life. You won't be paying attention to the narratives and the nonsense, because the word of God is true. It is life. I'm so glad that we talked about this today. I think we live in such a rich, overwhelming time where all the information that you could ever want and desire is at your fingertips, literally. And the one place we don't go to, because we know it's true, at least we hope, is his word. I'd rather listen to the morning show for truth. And every day, we're disappointed. It's sad, but I should have expected it, right? That justice for the children who have been mistreated, abused, neglected, sold, will one day come under the wrath of a mighty God. Because the malarkey that we're being fed today, how do I know that? Scripture says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. Every evil deed that man covers, God will expose on his day, because God is true. We must be different. We must shine differently. We must be different than any movement. We must be different. We must be a light on a hill, a shining city on a hill. We must not put our light under a bowl. We must walk in the word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Father, I want to thank you so much that your word is true. It has been established forever. That you have, as the Logos, have put on flesh and have shown us the word in action and living. And then in your wisdom, through thousands of years, through 40 men, 66 books, you have given us your canon, your word, that declares and proclaims the goodness of our God, the fulfillment of his promise in the redemption of mankind through the Son. We praise you and thank you. And we are reminded in the same way that Jesus had mentioned to the men on the road to Emmaus, have you not read all that Moses and the prophets have said about me? We thank you that you are the living word. To you be honor and glory. And may we read the inspired word to see our God and to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen.